God's good, isn't he? He's a good God. Got to see some beautiful, one of the beautiful places in the, you know, in the world, just see the mountains and everything, and you just see the majesty of God. You know, you can just see his creation. But I know I love seeing his creation down here, but I tell you what, I can't wait till there's a new earth, till he recreates this thing brand new, without sin, without the curse, without man destroying it, and see the beauty then. What a God. But Luke 18, we're going to look at the beginning, first couple of verses. It says this, and then he, this is Jesus, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he said, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Lord, we thank you for its truth. Lord, I pray that you would open it up in our ears and our minds and our hearts today. And Lord, that we would take this word, challenge us, and let it apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. Help us to get more serious in prayer so that we can see the results. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So at the end of the previous chapter in Luke 17, Jesus is talking about his return. He's talking about him coming back, and he said it would look like the days of Noah, it would look like the days of Lot. And you know, we've talked about this before. If you study out what it looked like in Noah's day, you study out what it looked like in Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's day, it looks an awful lot like it does today. So if that, if it looks like these days that the Lord said that judgment would come, I'm telling you what, I believe we're that much closer to the judgment coming. But that much closer to the Lord could mean today, or it could mean another 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years. I don't know. So we have to continue on as if we have to be ready as if he's coming back today, but also ready as if we're going to serve the rest of our life without him coming back. And I'm telling you, so it's in this context, it's in talking about his return, that then in this chapter, he gives them a parable, and I believe this is something to keep them until the end. This is instruction. Yes, the Lord's coming back. You believe that, don't you? I believe he's coming to get his church first, and then all the things that happen in the book of Revelation, you know, the all of the plagues, all the different things, and then at the end, we are coming with him back to this earth, and he is going to vanquish all of his enemies and sit on the throne of David. I believe that, don't you? And I believe there's two, people get this confused. He's coming to get his church, but he's not stepping foot on the earth. We're meeting him in the air. Amen. And then he's stepping foot later. So anyway, that's a little pause there on the side. But he's saying, this is what I want you to think about until that day, no matter how many days it is. And he gives them this parable, and he says, he gives actually the purpose of the parable right in the beginning. He doesn't always do this, but this makes it a lot easier for the preacher, for you studying or reading or anything. He says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So before he gives the parable, he says, this is what I want you to think of. And you know, we use that word ought, don't we? We still use it today. We ought to do something, right? But we don't use it the way the Bible's talking about. The Bible's much more strong of a word. Today we say, well, I ought to do this before, you know, something else happens. You know, I ought to do something early in the week, but likely I'm going to procrastinate, right? That's the way we use the word ought. The word ought in the Bible is much stronger of a word. When it's saying you ought to do it, it's saying it's a necessity. Right? Not something that's optional, not something, it says, when you, it says you need, you must be praying, and not to faint. You know what's sad? There's a lot of Christians we know that have fainted, right? That have quit. They've gone on. They've gone on to other things. They've given up. They've become weak-hearted. They've walked away from the faith. Maybe they haven't walked away from the faith altogether, but they walked away from the power. Right? They walked away from serving. They walked away from their calling or any of those things. And he is saying, hey, if you're talking about walking away from these things, one of the first things that is going to happen is you're going to be lacking in prayer. That's what he's saying. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So that tells us the fainting can come from a lack of prayer. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
And I think every time we feel like quitting, whatever it is, anytime we feel like quitting serving the Lord, anytime we want to feel like quitting across the board, we need to stop and evaluate our prayer life. I think that's what he's saying right here. You know what? I don't know about you, but there are times where I am just absolutely ashamed with myself because I look at how much that I try to do on my own power.
Yeah.
Right? On my own abilities, my own skills, or whatever. It ashames me to think about it because then what happens is prayer becomes a last resort. Right? Prayer, I'll try to take care of this myself, and then when that's not working out so well, then I turn to prayer. That is not what God designed. Although we continue to do it. Prayer is a first resort, not a last resort. All right, let's get into the parable. Verse 2, Jesus is talking about, he gives us some characters. First, he says, there is in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded men. So in this parable, number one, right off the bat, this judge is not Jesus Christ. Thank goodness, right? He's saying, hey, there's this judge, and he's not even a Jewish judge. We know that because a Jewish judge, Deuteronomy 1:16, would have said this, and I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with them. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of men, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it to me and I will hear it. So we see a Jewish judge would have not been a respecter of persons if they're following what the Lord said in scriptures. But this man was different. He's probably a Roman judge. And look what he's in power, but he only cares about himself. Do you see that? He doesn't regard men. He doesn't care about the people that come in front of him. And what's even more sad is he didn't care about God. Right? He didn't fear God. He didn't care what God said. He didn't care what God's people thought or anything else. And here's the sad part. We've got this man in authority making judgment calls. He's a judge, you know, where people are trying to bring things to him to obtain justice. And he doesn't care about God. He doesn't care about men. This is not a very good judge, is it? But unfortunately, this is the model politician today, right? A man or woman that's all about themselves. They don't fear God. They don't really care about the people. Well, they claim to care about it when it's time to vote. But then you turn right around and they don't really care. Well, anyway, right? The Bible tells us frequently not to oppress the widows or the fatherless. Right? And the other character in the story is this widow, but he's to treat them with compassion. So you can definitely tell he did not fear God at all. He judged oppositely of the Bible. He was a respecter of persons. And probably in that time, knowing the way those judges worked and different things we even see from the Bible, he probably took bribes. So if you wanted a quick judgment, if you wanted something to go your way, you know, you grease the wheel, right? We would joke around, us in the anti-money laundering field, we would call it financial encouragement instead of a bribe. We just joke about it as if it's kind of a nicer thing to say. But that's what probably you would have had to do. If you weren't somebody in power or important or whatever, you'd have had to bribe him probably to get what you wanted. Look at verse 3, the other character. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So in the same city as the judge, we've got this widow. And in those days, if you were a widow, you're probably poor, right? Almost all the widows in that day would have been poor because the husband would have been the one bringing in the income, would have been the one working. They'd have lost their income. And now she's going to this judge and saying, avenge me of mine adversary. She wants justice, right? Someone's going against her. We don't have all the details. She's got some kind of enemy that's, you know, doing something against her, and she wants justice. But here's the problem. She's a poor widow. She doesn't have the money. She can't give a bribe, right? She can't encourage financially. She's got nothing. There's no hope for her to receive, the judgment that she wants. She doesn't have the money to pay to the selfish judge that doesn't fear God. So here's this widow. She's got no power, no influence, no husband, no money. And you would think right here the story would stop, right? Yeah, she goes to him. She wants this judgment, and he doesn't care who she is. He doesn't care about anything. She's got no money. Get away from me, right? You would think the story would end there, but it doesn't. It keeps going. And here's the judge, back to the judge in verse 4. And he would not for a while, so he wouldn't avenge her. But afterward he said within himself, he's talking to himself, though I fear not God, nor regard men. So again, we see his characteristics. Verse 5, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So the judge, again, he didn't fear God, or she would have gotten the justice she needed. He didn't regard men. He only cared about his own interest. But this widow was coming to him over and over and over again. Do you see this? She was bringing it maybe every single day. She was bringing her case, but she would not stop. She wanted justice. And here's the thing. He's sending her away over and over again empty, right? Not giving her what she wants, not giving her justice, but eventually she starts to annoy him, right? That's what's happening. Instead of sending her away empty, one day he's like, you know what? I'm just going to avenge her. I'm going to grant her petition so she will go away, right? That's what Jesus is saying. And it's all about selfishness. Again, he does not care about the widow. Look at verse 4 and 5. He does not care about her. He does not care about God, but just selfishness. He doesn't want her to bother him anymore. And because of her persistence, you know, he's basically saying, she's driving me crazy. I want her out of here. So I guess I'll just give her what she wants so she goes away. Now, children have never done that to us, right? Anyway, we'll keep going. They're not here to defend themselves. The judge helps her out, but he does it reluctantly. So he's not on her side. He's not moved by her or anything else. He's just moved by the fact that she's not going to give up. So I just need to give her what she wants. Now we have the turn of the parable. Verse 6, and the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. So Jesus starts to make a contrast here. He's saying, hey, that judge that was unjust, did you hear what he said? What he's saying in the story is, remember, the judge is unjust. This judge in the example, he's not giving real justice, or he would have given her what the justice she required right at the beginning. But aren't you glad that there's a difference between that judge and our judge, Jesus Christ, right? That judge was unjust.
Yeah.
Our judge, Jesus Christ, he's just. He's got perfect justice. He will give us what's right. He will avenge our enemies, praise God. That judge didn't care about the widow. He didn't love her. He didn't care about her. She had no power. She had no money. She had no influence. He just didn't care about anything. But aren't you glad that God's got a special heart for those that are downtrodden, those that are poor, those that are widows, those that can't help themselves, and most importantly for all of us, really a lot of us fall into one or many of those examples. He loves us. He has a special heart for his children. Aren't you glad we serve a different judge today?
Amen.
That judge answered the petition because of himself. He said, I'm tired of hearing her. I'm done. I just want to get her out of here so I don't have to hear her anymore. Aren't you glad that our God, our judge, freely supplies our needs according to his riches and glory because he loves us, not begrudgingly, but because he wants to care for us. So we see right here, there is a total difference between the two judges. And praise God for that. And then verse 7, look what he's saying. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? He's saying, hey, here's one of the things. And then in verse 8, I'll tell you that he will avenge them speedily.
Here's one of the problems today. You're thinking, well, Mike, if I've got a God that hears my prayers, if I've got a God that cares about me, if I've got a God, that wants to do things for me, then why am I in certain situations? Why am I undergoing persecution? Why am I in these trials? Why do I have these problems going on? And Jesus attacks it head on right here. He says, there are children of His that cry out day and night, Lord, avenge. Lord, help me. Lord, I need justice. Lord, stop the enemy. That's what he's saying. And he said, and you can stop and say, now wait a second. It feels like if Jesus isn't answering those prayers as soon as we pray them, it could feel like the unjust judge. Right? He's hearing it and hearing it, but not wanting to do anything.
But Jesus is saying, hold on a second. When you're talking about vengeance against our enemies, I'm telling you what, the church has a lot of enemies because Jesus had a lot of enemies. And it's a good thing. I'm telling you what, we cannot coexist with every religion on this earth. We can't even coexist with everyone that claims the name of Jesus Christ because there are a lot of them that have walked away from the truth of the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you, there is a difference between the God of the Bible and the Jesus of the Bible and the one that people have made up. And I'm not willing to compromise God's Word just so we can all come together and sing Kumbaya and put out and not say the name of Jesus. I am telling you, we will undergo opposition. And there will be times when we pray and say, Lord, will you make it stop? And it doesn't stop. You know what he's saying? Though he bear long with them. You know what that reminded me of? Even though there's persecution going on, even though there's problems going on and everything else, aren't you glad our God is long-suffering? Right?
Yeah.
The same
yeah.
reason why he hasn't come back to get the church yet. They asked, why is the Lord delaying? He's coming. And he said, no, he's long-suffering. He's patient. He's merciful. Why? He waited long enough so you and I could get on board and get saved. Praise God. And he's also waiting for some of our enemies to do the same. He's saying, I know you're crying out day and night, but I'll tell you what, the second the long suffering ends and the Lord comes back and we're with him and he's on a white horse and we're on white horses behind him, he will avenge his enemies speedily. You see what the apostle John saw, and he will wipe them out without lifting a sword. You know what sword he's going to use is the word of God right out of his mouth, and all the enemies will be done. He will avenge our enemies. So don't mistake the fact that we're crying out for certain things and they're not happening instantly for the fact that he's turned into the unjust judge. He's not.
Right.
He's not. He hears our prayers.
Amen.
But then look at the end of verse 8. Right at the end of the parable, look what Jesus sneaks in here. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, this is Jesus, that's what he calls himself, shall he find faith on the earth?
Yes.
This is a question Jesus is asking. And when God asks a question, he knows the answer. Right? Why is he asking it? He wants us to think about the question and us to answer it. When Jesus comes back, is he going to find faith on the earth? That's what he's saying. Remember the beginning of the parable, verse 1. What was the purpose? That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Right? How does a child of God go from full of faith to faithless?
Right?
How do we go from faith and trust to not trusting and fear and everything else? How do we go from one point to the other? You know what Jesus is reminding us? It's prayer. And it's a lack of prayer. Right? That fainting will lead you to losing faith in God. Right? The less we pray, the less we will trust God. And the less we trust God, the less we'll serve God. And the less we'll serve God and put our trust in God, the less we'll know about who God really is. Because I've said it before, I have tried serving God without praying. And I'm sure I'll keep trying this from time to time because I don't know about you, I'm stubborn. Right? I'll do things in the name of the Lord, but then I'll try to do it on my own strength. And what happens when we do that? I'll tell you what, I've done that some Sunday mornings and you probably didn't even notice it. Right? The congregation didn't notice it. And maybe you're a teacher here. Maybe you teach Sunday school, junior church, something like that, or lead a Bible study or whatever. And maybe you've tried to do it on your own strength, and maybe your class hasn't noticed it. Right? Well, you know, Brother Preston was talking about, you know, a lot of people's fears is getting up and speaking in front of public. It used to be my fear, but God took that away. And guess what? I've talked in front of lots of people many, 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 many times over many years. And guess what? I can talk pretty smoothly most of the time. Right? I can get up here and teach you something not about the Bible. Right? I could get up here, teach it to you, and get you to understand it, and wouldn't even need God for that. But the dangerous part is when I open this book and start to preach and claim it's in the name of the Lord, when really it's in Mike's power and Mike's gifts and Mike's talents and everything else. That's a problem. Right? That's a problem. Because here's the thing. You may learn something from it. There have been times I've done that, and you've got something out of the message. You know, the Holy Spirit wasn't helping me, but it was helping you to learn, praise God. But I'll tell you what, revival's never going to come if I try to stand up here and do it on my own. Right? Revival's not going to come in our homes and our families if we're trying to do this ourselves. Right? It's not coming. And here's the thing. Here's the problem. If I get up here and try to do it on my own, and then I see a lack of results, and then I forget I'm doing it on my own and act like it's God that didn't give me what I needed today. That's what the devil tries to do. Right? Oh, nobody responded today. Nothing really happened today. It felt kind of flat today. And then I'm thinking, well, I guess God's not helping me today. And then turn right around and realize I didn't go to God for help. And that's why he didn't help me. Because here's the thing. He will let you do it on your own. Right? He will let you. You have not because you ask not. Amen? But here's the thing. Will Jesus find any faith when he returns? Will he find Christians consistently and persistently praying or not? What do we have? We've got needs, don't we? We've got a lot of spiritual needs, especially. We've got lots of children who need discipled and taught about the Lord. We've got lost people around us that need the gospel. We've got Christian brothers and sisters. We need to edify, build one another up, teach one another. We've got spiritual mountains that need moved, right? We need different things. And we need to be praying like the widow. But here's the thing. Are we doing that? We're not pestering God so that way he reluctantly gives us what we need. But are we taking each and every need to God? Because like the widow, we're poor. We don't have any influence. We don't have money. We can't solve these spiritual things on our own, even though we constantly try to do it on our own. Right? Are we taking everything to God? Because for that widow, if that judge wouldn't have given her justice, she would have never gotten it.
That's right. Amen.
And guess what? If we don't go to the Lord to get what we need, we'll never get it from ourselves. We can drum up a lot of things. We're never going to drum up a changed life. We're never going to drum up a changed family. We're never going to drum up revival. I don't know about you. I'm tired of doing it on my own. Not a pity party. I'm tired of doing it in and of myself without the Lord. We've got this this CD that we listen to a lot when we're driving, of singing, and it was a live taping. And a brother in the Lord said this. He made this statement. He said, "I'm sick of going to church without the Holy Ghost." And it's true. Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of coming in? We can go through the motions. We know how to sing the songs. We know how to stand up at the right time. We know how to do all these things. But I don't want just an assembly of people together and a fellowship and a social club and everything else. I want the power of God to move, not just in my life, but in all of our lives. So that way when we come together, that there are mountains moved. But that will never happen without prayer. And I got to remind myself over and over again of that. Right? We didn't come to Jesus by anything but prayer. How do we think we can get anything else from Jesus by anything but prayer? We won't. We have needs. Are we praying continually to God? And he wants to hear our prayers. He desires them. He wants us. He says, "Cast your cares upon me." He wants these things.
Amen.
We got some people that never pray. Others pray when they're in trouble. That's it, right? I'm in a jam. I need to pray. But he's saying pray as often as you get a chance. Pray as often as the need is there, constantly giving our petitions to the Lord. In the good times, pray. In the bad times, pray. So that way it's a habit. Let me ask you this question. Have you prayed today? Did you pray before you came in here? I know we prayed together. Did you pray yourself before we came in here? What'd you pray about? Did you pray about the service? Did you pray about how God may use you in the service? Did you pray about how God may help you, maybe to be an encouragement to one of the other brethren going through something? Maybe you're doing good right now. Maybe you just pray, God, just put someone in my path today at church that I could uplift them and encourage them that's down. I may not even know that they're down, but Lord, help me to just be a part in your house, right? Even things like that, not even necessarily standing up and giving a testimony, but Lord, help me to be an encourager, just something. Have we prayed things like that? Because if we haven't, you're just coming in here like a spectator, right? You come in here, it's almost like you go to a show, you pay the admission, you get your ticket, you sit in your seat, and you sit back and you hope that they entertain you. That is not God's house. That's not God's people. Have you prayed? What's he saying? Men ought to pray and not to faint. Right? The widow had no one else to turn to. But I'm glad we've got a great one to turn to. We don't have to hope that unjust judge finally gets fed up and will give us what we want. We've got a God that is just, He's loving, He's compassionate, He's merciful, He's got grace, He's got wisdom, He's got so many precious promises that we can turn to. He wants to hear from us. So we need to keep praying. If you've been praying, keep praying. And here's the thing, sometimes even pray with tears. Some emotion. Just let it out. Psalm 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And then I get to the end again. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?
Yes.
Right? That's another question. Right? It's a question we have to ask ourselves. And I tell you what, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to say something bold. I think we can answer this question here. If we're talking about Victory Free Will Baptist Church and he asked the question, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? I'm going to say yes. Yes, if he doesn't find it anywhere else, he's going to find it in this church. Why? Because we're going to trust him, we're going to pray to him, we're going to stand on his word, we're going to serve him, we're going to love him, because he first loved us all the way until he comes back to get us, or till we leave this world in death. Either way, is he going to find faith? You betcha he's going to find faith, because I'll tell you what, you and I are going to stir one another, encourage one another, teach one another, help one another, drive one another, because that's what God's put us here for. Are we going to continue in prayer? You betcha we're going to continue in prayer. I'm not ready to give up, are you? Some of the biggest things I've ever seen in my life were from a prayer. Amen? Salvation? Amen? We've had some prayer meetings that have absolutely moved mountains. And who knows what God's ready to do next. We're going to be persistent, just like the woman, in prayer, constantly going to the Lord, constantly taking him our needs. Why? Because he wants us to do that. Unlike the unjust judge that is tired of listening to her, our God will never grow tired of you calling on his name.
Yeah.
Never. New Testament, one of the short verses, Paul ends 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. He says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I tell you what I'm ready to do. I'm ready to pray our way to the end of this thing. And watch what God does. Watch what he does in your life. Because he's got things for us. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We need to pray, church. We need to pray. We need to pray. Carrie's going to get a song. We're going to open up the altar. Kind of gave the salvation part in my testimony after singing. But if you're lost today, that's the first prayer the Lord will listen to. You can pray. If you've never come to Jesus Christ for salvation, He's not answering any prayer than one of you coming to Him and admitting you're a sinner and believing on Him and saying, Lord, save my soul. That's the only prayer. You can keep calling out His name for all kinds of things. You might see things change. You might see things happen in your life. But the Lord says in the Bible, He says, I want to hear the sinner praying to me. And He wants to hear from you today if you're lost. Maybe you've wandered away. Maybe you've fainted. Right? We think of fainting as you pass out on the floor. No, He's talking about fainting where people have given up. Spiritually passed out. Right? Spiritually asleep. Is that you today? The best thing is if you're asleep, you can wake up. Right? If you've kind of put the Lord off, if it's been a while since you've really talked to the Lord, and I'm not talking about the routine prayer over a meal. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about getting alone with God and just sharing your heart with Him. And then a lot of times what else we don't do is just stop and listening. Just stop and being quiet for a little bit. And then maybe get out that Bible and letting Him talk back to us. How long has it been since you've done that? I'm here to tell you, your Sunday mornings will be 1,000 times better if you steal away in prayer in the morning and you talk to God before you come in here. That way, it's not our job to stir up your fire. Your fire will be stirred up when you come in. Amen?
Amen.
How's your prayer life today? Men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're going to open up the altar.